Did you know that if you have a brand new pair of shoes, I can sing you a song to celebrate them? Did you know that? It is true, because my grandma was a kindergarten teacher, and we have songs for everything in my family. I mean, everything. Now, my mom was a teacher, too, and when she did end up leaving the classroom, she stayed in education, working in the library and then the main office. She actually retires this year, and I tell you, I'm not alone having a lot of educators in my life. You're surrounded by educators, too. We are surrounded by educators here at Highlands United Methodist Church as well, because it happens to be the most represented occupation between our active and retired teachers and specialized service providers and interventionists and principals and staff and professors that call this place home. We've got more educators than anything else in this room. I'm talking about you. Yeah, I am. Educators are the best, right? They're the best, and they're everywhere. They even grace the pages of our scriptures. In fact, as we look at the life of Jesus during Lent, looking at Jesus to think, where can we find life? It turns out Jesus was a teacher at heart. It was actually in everything that he did. There is not a single story of Jesus in our scriptures that wasn't a teachable moment. That was kind of his thing. But there were also these very clear educational experiences that Jesus shared by design, right? Not just, okay, we happen to be learning while we're doing this, but okay, we're going to talk, and I'm going to teach you some things. In fact, as a child, Jesus got lost. And where did his parents find him? This kid is in the temple teaching the rabbis, the leaders, and everybody else things about God. Now, throughout the Gospels in his adult years, he took time to teach people often. One of the most quintessential examples of Jesus as a teacher is the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's 3 chapters long. Let me tell you, in the Bible, most chapters have like 3 or 4 things going on in them. One event doesn't usually take 3 chapters to unfold. But that's how much stuff is here. It includes some of Jesus' most cited words, the things we say all the time. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount is where we get the Lord's Prayer. Now, what I appreciate is not just what Jesus is teaching in this moment, but how Jesus is teaching in this moment. Jesus is a good teacher. His pedagogy is on point. Now, I will say, when it comes to education, the 2 most common questions asked by high school and college students are these. When will I use this? And will this be on the test? Right? These are the 2 most common questions. And Jesus navigates these like a pro. He handles the first one, when will I use this? By tackling real life issues before anyone can even ask how it's relevant. They just know because they feel it. We hear this in our first scripture today. Betsy?
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are the people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are the people who are grieving, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are the people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are the people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are the people who make peace, because they will be called God's children."
Oh, thank you, Grant. Jesus was speaking about the people he was speaking to. Do you hear how important that is? He's not speaking about something irrelevant. He's speaking about the very people he's speaking to. Do you know who was gathered there on that mountainside with him? The hopeless, the grieving, the forced to be humble, the lowly, those longing for righteousness in life. That's who was there. And so that's what Jesus talks about. He is talking about their lives, the very real, the very immediate, the very human parts of the lives they are living. The stuff often they don't even think they can bring up, and yet here he is just talking about it. To sit down and hear the teacher talk about you. It amazes me how many preachers, faith leaders, spend so much time talking about someday stuff. You know, the stuff that'll happen someday, be it, I don't know, judgment, rapture, heaven, those kinds of conversations seem to come up. And there's a lot of faith leaders that spend all sorts of time talking about the someday stuff. How can anyone focus on someday when today is filled with things like hopelessness and grief and forced humility and injustice? We got to deal with that stuff right here and right now. That's why when he has a crowd, right? Like he's on the mountain. Jesus got this huge crowd. He doesn't choose to talk about someday. Jesus looks at the people with him and talks about today. Now, he does talk about the kingdom of God during the Sermon on the Mount. People often associate the phrase kingdom of God with heaven or something after we die. But Jesus looks up and says, oh, hang on. The kingdom of God, right here, right now. My favorite translation is Jesus saying the kingdom of God is on your doorstep. Think about that when you leave the building today, would you? Here, now. There's no question when we'll need to know this stuff because it is our life. No guessing when it'll apply. No wondering if we'll ever use it again. Jesus addresses and names the foundational needs of those he is with. He teaches them how to handle the realities of life. And he does so with hope and kindness, validating who they are and how they are. For me, that's the hallmark of a great educator. Someone who is aware of who they are teaching. Someone who recognizes that all of the life stuff impacts the ability of someone to learn. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus embracing what those in the education world, right, Jolaine, would call trauma-informed practices. We can't learn if we're responding to life's most difficult moments. We've got to deal with that stuff. We need those experiences acknowledged and validated and cared for so then we can begin to learn. And Jesus embodies this. Jesus is very trauma-informed. He opens the conversation, right? The lesson, the teaching, by naming the realities and the needs that he sees. And he says, I see this, and I'm here with you. Maybe you hear yourself in the list that he made. It's not that I hope anyone is hopeless or grieving, but it's because I know that we are. I don't know anyone who isn't carrying these realities Jesus just spoke of. And I hope that you're aware that Jesus is aware. Now, the other thing I see Jesus do in this Sermon on the Mount is he keeps the focus on the learning. This comes up all the time in my work with young adults. When I go live on TikTok a few times a week, folks come in, it's a whole Q&A session. I see about 60,000 unique people a week in these conversations. And one of the things that comes up over and over and over, every few minutes while I'm engaged in these conversations with young folks, someone will drop a question into the Q&A about school, or about grades, or about tests, or about big projects, these kinds of things. They're wrestling with it. They're overwhelmed by it. I mean, you know that second question? Will this be on the test? I mean, that's a very real concern, isn't it? Do you remember that feeling? You're looking at all this information going, oh, geez, I have to know all of this. What are they going to ask me about? You're scribbling down notes in hopes that you might capture the right fragment they shared that you could stitch together a good enough exam grade. When folks ask me about how to manage school and grades and tests and all those kinds of things, my answer is always the same. Focus on the learning. Not the grade, not the test, just focus on learning. Because if the focus is on learning, the tests and the grades, those will follow. They'll take care of themselves. They're actually measures of what you're learning. But what happens is too often we get focused on the measures. And if the focus is on the measures, it's hard to stay engaged and interested. If all you're worried about is the grade, you can miss the learning just to get the good grade. Right? It's very easy to just hold information for a brief moment and forget it when the semester changes. I once studied 17 hours straight for a Greek final. Ask me how much of it I remember. Because, you know, if the test or the grade isn't what you hoped it would be, you feel like you failed, right? In fact, sometimes the grade tells you that right on the paper. But learning doesn't go away. Learning stays and is something you carry with you. Learning is something we get to keep with us and build upon long after the grades don't even matter anymore. So if we focus on the learning, we are always successful. And Jesus does this when he teaches. I want you to hear this in another scripture from the Sermon on the Mount.
You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both evil and good, and sends rain on both the righteous and unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the same tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so you must also be complete.
Now, this is some of my favorite Jesus. You've heard it said, but I say to you, this happens like 6-7 times over. I just picked one little snippet. Jesus is like, okay, I know you've heard this, but I want to tell you this. You heard this, I want to tell you this. It almost felt when I was younger that Jesus was like updating the textbook. Okay, everyone pull out your books, erase that line and write this in, okay? But that's not really what Jesus was doing. Jesus wasn't getting rid of anything. Jesus was refocusing the class. Because folks had gotten so caught up on what was going to be on the test, they skipped the learning in pursuit of what looked like the right answer. It's like they heard love your neighbor was going to be on the final. And though they technically knew the answer, they didn't understand the subject at all. It's like that moment in a classroom where the teacher asks a question. That one kid, oh, I know the answer. I know the answer. And the teacher looks at him and says, great. Why is that the answer? And they freeze. But I gave you the right answer. Yeah, you did. But do you know why it's the right answer? No, you just said that was the right answer. You see, just because we read it in the book or memorize the answer doesn't mean we understand the reasoning. It's just as true in science and math as is in the Bible. Jesus is pushing us to look beyond the right answer and instead look for all of the ways we can learn it and see it in our lives. It actually ties to another learning concept, show your work. This is especially true for the math teachers in the house. Hi, Professor Davis. If you don't show your work, how can anyone know if you really understood? I've actually chatted with a few math teachers who say they have found correct answers that were happened upon, though the work wasn't right at all. Like you just, oops, yeah, sure, you got the right answer, but the person didn't actually know what they really were doing. And they've told me, and this blew my mind, you can find a wrong answer that still shows a mastery of the concept, even though the output might be a little flawed. The work matters. And Jesus knows this to be true of human nature as well. When it comes to loving our neighbor, Jesus is asking us to show our work. And let's be honest, loving people is work. Right? It's not a quick gesture. It's not empty words. It's not being nice to people who are nice to us. Oh, see, I did it. Yay. It's work. And Jesus wants to see it. Jesus wants to see that work in our lives, not to judge us, not to fail us, but so that by showing our work, we might actually learn something from it. Because learning is about the here and the now, not about the score at the end. Does that sound familiar? Jesus is consistent in his focus that it's about today, not just someday. Because today is a day we can be loved and validated for who we are. Because today is a day we can receive God's blessings that are for all those real and difficult moments. And today is a day we can learn more about God's love in ways that will transform our lives and transform the world. Not for some test, but that we might be blessed through the learning. Amen.